house, Lord, this evening. Everybody happy to be here?
Amen.
Amen. So, let's stand and sing that song. Have thine own way, Lord. And have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Strength and why I'm weak, You are my all in all. Amen. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. And seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, arising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. And when I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all, Jesus. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name, Jesus, oh, Lamb of God. Tonight. Amen. Praise God. Sing that song, Your Great Name. Amen. Lost are saved. Lost are saved. Find their way at the sound of Your Great Name. All condemned. All sound of your great name. Hungry souls receive grace at the sound of your great name. The sick are healed for them. They find their rest at the sound of your great name. The sick are healed and the dead are raised at the sound of your great name. Second verse again. All the weak find their strength at the sound of your great name. Hungry souls receive grace at the sound of your name. The fatherless, they find their rest at the sound of your great name. The sick are healed and the dead are raised at the sound. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name. Not again, Jesus. And Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. The Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord, I'm clocking. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We don't have any new announcements as of right now. I'm sure everybody knows that Pastor Cam is at home with his wife, who's having contractions right now. So we have our brother Smith speaking tonight, Simon Smith. I'm sure we'll have an expectation for the Lord to move there. Amen. And as far as the schedule goes for this coming weekend and week, Pastor Cam told me to feel the people. So get back with me on how you'd like your services to roll the next few weeks as far as a watch night or Christmas Eve or Christmas. So just some feedback there would be great. So everybody clear there? And we're on schedule for prayer this Friday. But Cam did mention, if we have to cancel it, we will. So, other than that, I'm sure we'll all, we don't have any prayer requests or testimonies, but I'm sure we'll have unspoken prayer requests, like make known to the Lord, might not first stand. I have a brother Ty come lead us in a prayer. Also over the tithes and the offerings.
Just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you would just come and preach us the word, Lord, no matter how it is preached to us, Lord. We just want to accept it, Lord. Lord, and we just pray, Lord, that you'd be with Sister Julia, Lord, as she's going through labor, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you'd be with the people who are not here today, Lord Jesus. Whether they had work, Lord, or couldn't make it through the snow and weather conditions, Lord. And Lord, we just pray for the tithing and offerings, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to sing that song, What Can Wash Away My Sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen.
And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious. But the blood of Jesus, and for my pardon, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus, and oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus, and not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus, and oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow, and no other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus, and this is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus, and this is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow, and no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And now by this I'll overcome, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And now by this I'll reach my home, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow, and no other fire. nothing but the blood of Jesus. And all my praise for this I bring, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. And no, found I know nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Now by this I'll overcome. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song. Every promise in the book is mine. How many believe that tonight? Amen. Let's sing that song.
And every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. And every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise.
Why don't you greet your neighbor, tell him every promise is yours.
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. And every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Last time.
Every promise in the book is mine. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Once like a bird in prison I dwell, no free from my sorrow I fell. Then Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. Oh, He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me, and I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. And now I am climbing higher each day. The darkness of night has drifted away, and my feet are planted on higher ground. And glory to God, I'm homeward bound. Oh, He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Madison. Goodbye to sin and things that confine. Oh, naught of this world shall turn me around. For daily I'm working, I'm praying to, and glory to God I'm going through. Oh, He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Oh, I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. Oh, He set me free, yes, He set me free. And He broke the bonds of prison for me. Now I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free.
Amen. As a brother, Simon prepares himself. Sing a song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. Worship Your holy name. Sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. Worship Your holy name. Your rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 years and it's hard to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. And sing like never before, O my soul. Worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come. Soon my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. Worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, and bless the Lord. worship, and I will worship your holy name. One more time. I will worship your holy name.
Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. As our brother Simon comes up, let's sing a song, Only Believe. All things are possible. Amen.
And only believe. Only
try to express that to you and get that over to you, and I hope it'd be a blessing. I believe it's one of the keys to number one, receiving the Holy Ghost, number two, conquering in this final hour, overcoming, and just a thought I had and just want to dive into it. So we'll see how it goes. This is the one time I actually get up here, actually if I've ever gotten up behind a pulpit or done a Bible study, and I feel unprepared. So just keep me in prayer. Had about an hour of study, maybe. So we'll just dive into this, see how it goes. Turn to Hebrews 9. Not going to get nervous, just whatever God wills, He allowed everything to happen however He wanted to happen. And we're just going to accept that, move right into it, and see if the Lord bless. Pray God have His way. Read a couple of scriptures here. We're going to go Hebrews 9, verse 1. It says, "Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary." Right? In other words, God didn't dwell out there. "And there was a tabernacle made, the first therein was a candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary." Or I think it's, they may call it like the holy place or whatever. And then he says, "And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all," the holiest of holies. He says, "which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with the gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod and budded in the tables of the covenant," right? "And over in the cherubims of the glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests always into the first tabernacle accomplishing the service of God, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people." Verse 8, "The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing." We'll stop there. Go to Matthew 27. Just a couple scriptures here, and we'll have you guys seated. I don't know how long this could be, a half an hour, a little Bible study, whatever, we'll see how it goes. Matthew 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, right? "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." So let's just say a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we love you, God, and Lord, we thank you for everything you've done for each one of us, God. You provide a way here, Lord, tonight to hear this little Sunday school, God, Lord, and Lord Jesus, Lord, we just want you to take full control, Lord, of this vessel, God, and Lord, just get out of the way, God, and Lord, just, Lord, you know I'm not, I like to have a lot of scriptures up here with me, Lord, and then don't have them, Lord, but Lord, I believe I have you within me, God, and Lord Jesus, I'm counting on you, Lord, to deliver the rest, Lord, and you just bring to remembrance, Lord, what you'd have me to say, God. Lord, just be with the people, God, anoint them, God, anoint their ears, Lord, and Lord, anoint their eyes, God, Lord, they might see tonight's little service here, God, and Lord, just have your perfect way, God, and Lord, be with our pastor, God, his wife's in labor. I hear that's painful, Lord, and Lord, just be with her, Lord, and as they bring another life into the world, God, another seed of God, Lord Jesus, Lord, and Lord, just give them all strength, God, all mercy and all grace, God, there, Lord, and all encouragement, God, everything, Lord, may you send your mightiest angels around that little camp there tonight, God, Lord, and Lord, the devil will not get nowhere near, God. We ask all these things, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. So just want to do a little Sunday school, if you will, a little teaching here maybe. I read one scripture, and it just kind of, about 2 weeks ago, and I've been thinking about it ever since, and the power behind it, I didn't get a real chance. I probably put an hour into studying it. That's all I really got in the last couple of weeks to study. So we'll see how this goes. We're just going to dive into it. Let's turn back to Hebrews 9. By the grace of God, verse 8, says, "The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing," right? "Which was a figure for the time then present, in which were both which offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, right? Verse 11, but Christ, being a good high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. So here we know that at this scripture, Paul is breaking down, he's shooting into the Old Testament, he says he's going, and then he went through the order of like how the tabernacle was set up, the outer court, the holy place, and the holiest of holies. He had it all kind of dialed in there with the scripture, with the showbread, and the brass laver, whatever you want to call it. Then he dives right into the holiest of holies, and this and that, and he breaks down to Aaron's bud and the manna from heaven, goes to the Ten Commandments, and we know the most important thing that was in there was what? The Shekinah glory himself, right? God Almighty, right? Dwelling behind what? Badger skins, right? Absolutely. They had one huge badger skin all the way around the whole temple. Then I think there was maybe another one or whatever. Then there was another one for the holiest of holies. So God dwelt behind animal flesh at that time. Absolutely. It's just the grace of God that he didn't have them put human flesh around. What a weird religion that would look like if they'd had human flesh all around there, right? Even though that would be like a perfect type of what Christ's coming. But he didn't do that. He put badger flesh. Absolutely. One of the most meanest animals there probably ever was. I'd rather fight a bear than a badger probably, or maybe a dog or whatever compared to a wolverine or, you know, the same family. But they're just mean little tough little guy animals. I don't think a bear would even mess with a badger, I don't think. I think they're just that ferocious, and I mean they just tear the living shreds on anything. So roll into this, if I have a title, I'd call it the final veil. Okay. And we just kinda want to work through this, and that my thought originally came because I was I'm always thinking about Godhead, and Lord, just give me more revelation, just more thoughts on that, because the one thing that we battle when we come into the religious realm, the one thing they always go to is Godhead. They could care less about the baptism half the time. They could care less about predestination. But you try to tell them there's only one God in the Godhead bodily, or one God in the Godhead, they'll fight night and day, or tooth and nail, and night and day with you forever and ever, right? So I would like to give each one of us all more revelation on how the Godhead is set up, how it works, and be able to bring maybe a scripture that hasn't been opened yet, you know, because when the prophet came and the seals were open and the mysteries of God were open, people read those scriptures and didn't have a clue what they meant. They'd read Matthew 13, right, and how God would go into the parable of the two seeds, right, the wheat and the tares. People would read that for thousands of years and have no clue on what that meant. They would literally have no idea that there was actually literally two physical seed lines in the earth. They didn't. That scripture was totally veiled to them. The word of God was veiled to them for the most part. Now, basic stuff like if a man don't work, he don't eat. There's no veil on that. It's pretty simple. Try it one time. Try not to work. You single or you heads of the household, don't work and see if you eat. No revelation whatsoever required for that. Absolutely not. But here we go into like the deeper things of predestination and all these things. And the Calvinists would go as far as and say, once you're saved, always saved, right? And they'd get that, and that scriptures were veiled to them. All those things were even now, and we know the very first thing from like probably 325, 360 A.D., the huge, one of the biggest veils on the face of the earth, and that was what? The Trinity doctrine, right? So we know that was a huge veil for the scripture. But I want to touch a little bit on this for a little bit. Let's go to Hebrews 2. Just dealing with Godhead a little bit. You probably have heard everything I'm going to say. Just I want to go into it. But the main thing by the end of this, I want to get down to this very final veil. If anyone don't know if they have the Holy Ghost, if you want the Holy Ghost, if... I'll say it like this, if you're having problems or you're struggling with this and that, there's only one veil you have to break through. There's still other, though Christ came, right, and well, We'll get into this. Let's go to Hebrews 2, verse 6. We'll start at verse 5, actually. Hebrews 2, verse 5 says, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than an angel's," right? "Thou crownest him with glory and with honor, did set him over the work of thy hands," right? So here God is talking about who? Christ himself, right? And he said this Christ or this, this, yeah, I'll say this. Christ was made a little lower than the angels, right? Which explains what us, absolutely. We're made a little lower than the angels. I'll say it like this. The Bible says what? The woman is the weaker vessel, correct? Notice it said weaker, which shows what? The men are weak. Absolutely, absolutely. There's no strong, there's no one tough but Jesus Christ, right? Nature even proves it. Anyone like being around a tough guy? Not one person. You go on a job site and there's one guy with his chest out and like ordering every round. Nobody likes that guy. Nobody likes a tough guy because what? Everybody's got faults. Everyone's got something that they can that they can pinpoint about somebody else and say, well, you did this and you got that and you got this issue. Whatever. There's no great ones among us. Absolutely. We're all little peons, right? Absolutely. So here the Bible says that what? That Christ was made a little lower than an angel, right? Absolutely. But he was crowned with glory and honor and set him over the works of the hands. Now, what was the work? We see when Christ was a 12-year-old boy, he was disputing the doctors in there, and he said, "I'm doing my Father's business." Absolutely, right? He was over what God had originally planned for him. He was in the midst of doing it all the time. Absolutely. Even from a young child, he knew what he was supposed to do, right? Absolutely. Let's go to Hebrews 10, verse 4. "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins," right? Absolutely. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou hast not, but a body hast thou prepared me," right? So how was you made a little lower than angels? Just building a foundation. It was what? With a body, a flesh body. Absolutely. God himself made himself a little lower than angels by placing himself in a flesh body. Absolutely. Now, verse 5. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure," right? So he says, what you're accomplished, what your main mission is not that you could rise up to be the high priest and go in and offering a lamb sacrifice, a natural, whatever. He says, what he's saying here is that you would be the sacrifice, right? He says, animals are done with this time, right? Absolutely. Verse 7, "Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God," right? So what? He was the Word in a body, right? Absolutely. So it's a Word, the Word in a body, right? And a body that was a little bit lower than angels, but it was the Word Himself. He came in the volume, which is the whole book. Absolutely. Now, verse 9. "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God, to take away the first." He knew what his mission was. It was to take away the first, right? "That he may establish the second testament, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." Amen. Praise God, and I thank God he did it. Amen. Now, let's go to Romans 8. Now, here's where the mystery... You don't have to go there, but in Psalms 2 and 7, the Scripture says, David prophesies and says, he says, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee," right? So Christ, God meets, or Gabriel meets Mary, says, "You'll have a son," right? Mary now is packing or has the Word of God or the flesh, made a little bit lower than an angel, right? Inside her womb now, gives birth, and now, he says, when the birth takes place, God says, "I have begotten thee," right? And we know through the preaching by the Word of God in this day, he was the first of a new race. Absolutely. He was, an alien, right? Absolutely. Come down, come out of the womb, and when I was in the world and this and that, and I was talking to this one person one time, and I said, I feel all by myself. I feel like I'm different from everyone. That's an alien feeling. That's a feeling that shows that you're part of Christ. If there's ever time in the world or right now or whatever where sometimes you feel and you're all around all kinds of people and you still feel like you're the weirdest person around and you still feel like there's something wrong with me or whatever, this and that, it's a pretty good indication that you're a seed of God. When you're all around and I was around everybody, this and that, and you feel so alone and you feel like you're just different. There's just something more different about you than anyone else. You can't put a finger on it until you finally become a Christian. And then you, like I was witnessing to Brother Andy that one time, and I said, Brother, you're just coming out of spiritual amnesia. And he's like, that's what you call it? I said, that's what we call it. Spiritual amnesia. You're starting to wake up and you're seeing things, even though you may not have we don't play one part in it. God does everything to do with it, right? And He just slowly wakes you up through the Scripture, through the hearing of the sermons or whatever. Me and Sister Betsy, we were hatched underneath a denominational, right, message or whatever. But when we heard the Word, we could still identify it absolutely and say, that's me, absolutely. Christ died for me, and that was the whole of their whole message. Absolutely. Now, let's go to Romans 8. Sorry, I'm not even there yet. Now, here is where the whole thing, this is the whole confusion. I know it's a simple scripture, but the whole reason they have an issue or don't understand the Godhead, let's just read it, verse 1, Romans 8. This is the whole thing that set everything in disarray. This is the one, we'll just get it. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which were in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, right? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, right? That the righteousness of law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Absolutely. So what was the greatest confusion about everything? What actually was the catalyst to the Trinity doctrine? Verse 3, he says, "For what law?" Right? He says, "God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh." Right? So they're thinking in that kind of mindset they have even now today, 2,000 years after when Christ come and gone and all these things, and He's freed the world or whatever, and now that He's sent a prophet and every mystery you want to know is open. Then they're still blinded by what? Christ's flesh. That veil, God Himself came down in the veil. That's right. Because remember, the first tabernacle was on earth, right? At the same time, Christ came on the earth, right? The Jews still had their tabernacle set up just like that with their badger skins around it. And at that time, Christ now, coming out of the womb, a little lower than angels, walking around in sinless flesh, right? In a body that was prepared, right, by the Father. And now, the chief priests, the scribes, the elders would look and they would see a flesh. They would see the veil still up. They could go to the tabernacle, right, and they'd see a flesh. They could not see inside or past. If you weren't the high priest, you could never see within the holiest of holies. You couldn't see past that veil. So how do you know who's God? What is God like? I've never seen the Ark of the Covenant, Brother Steve. Sister Wendy, I've never seen it. They could say 2,000 years ago, I don't know what it's like. I don't know. I've never had the experience of one-on-one with God, right? I've never been past that veil. But now, Christ Himself, God in flesh, come totally veiled by what? Flesh. By human flesh, though we know by other sources that a little bit different in the chromosomes, a little bit of God technology there, if you want to say it like that. But the veil was there. If those men who knew the Torah like the back of their hand, and knew every law and this and that, could pinpoint faults and everything, and yet they would look at this flesh and they couldn't discern it. They could not see through that flesh, right? And God did it. When God wants to veil something, He'll veil it. How many times you ever lose something and you pray for it and boom, right there it was in front of your eyes the whole time? Absolutely. What? It was God veiled it and He's just asking you to ask Him for help. Absolutely. Happens all the time. I do it all the time at work. I'll set something down and I'm like, Lord, where'd I put that? And here, oh, just right where I left it. Absolutely. It's all the time. What? God veils it for a second. You look for it. You have to ask God for help, showing that what? He wants to help you here. He'll hide it Himself. Absolutely. Now, so the greatest, that flesh veil. Now notice how that veil could talk. The only thing about the Old Testament temple, it couldn't speak, right? But now God puts a temple right in the midst of them. And this temple could talk, though. And it could speak. And the temple would talk to itself, inside itself. Right? Father, He'd be praying, right? Would He be praying up there? There's a scripture where it says Jesus said, my Father in heaven. And then He said, there's a scripture where the Father's within me. So, what? He's light. He's eternal. He can be at more than one place at one time, right? But we know that God, the Bible says, Paul broke it down. He says, all the fullness of God had bodily dwelt within Christ, right? Absolutely. But when that veil came and that veil could speak, it threw the greatest curveball man's ever seen, right? And it started to help start one of the greatest. Satan grabbed hold of that curveball and he said, I can use this to pervert and get him to worship me. Absolutely, right? Absolutely. Praise God. And you know, we know that God set the whole thing up. So here's this veil that could speak, right? And this veil would be led of God to say things. Now, just kind of going into this, it's amazing how the human body is set up. We know the human body is what? Flesh, spirit, soul, right? Flesh is hearing, seeing, touch, taste, and smell, right? Spirit is conscience, memory, affections, reasoning, and imagination, correct? Now I want to deal with those two right here, because now remember, all of Christ all of God was in Christ, right? And then you are built just like God is, right? You're built in the image of Christ, right? Right? So we know that the Bible says that God had the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He knew what the lamb would slay, and He made our body just look just like that lamb. Absolutely. Now, I don't know how this. I was thinking about this, and this is kind of. What if you didn't have a spirit or the life within you, right? You'd be dead, right? So let's say I was dead. Sister Alora came up here, and let's say I was dead, and I was just kind of like standing here, just still dead, propped up or whatever, and she punched me right in the stomach. What would I say? Absolutely nothing. The next day, Alora punches me again. Would I say, Alora, you did that again? You punched me again. What? I would have no memory. Right? She punched me a third time. Would I say, ouch? So pain is almost a spiritual... See how tight flesh and spirit are tied together? You could mistake one for the other. Right? Absolutely. So here is a flesh, a veil... And you can mistake the inside for what the outside's doing. You can mistake the outside for what the inside's doing. It could go either way. How do you know I'm alive right now? Sister Laura could come up, punch me, and I wouldn't make a noise. But in my head, I'd be like, ouch. Right? I wouldn't have to let that inside out. Right? And vice versa. She could punch me. And I'd say, ouch, I could let the inside out. Absolutely, right? So here we see as Christ lived and He moved and He had His being and it did all these signs and wonders, how would you be able to discern what was the inside talking or was the outside talking? Was the flesh when Christ, and God gave me a scripture back when in 2010, that it opened my eyes to everything, okay? This is going actually longer than I thought here. We're already at half an hour, so. Now, God opened my eyes to understand, I think, the Godhead a little bit better than better than I ever had before, just as far as understanding it. How, and when you actually read the Scripture, if you try and get into the mind of God and really try to discern it, whatever, I believe you can actually pinpoint when the flesh is speaking and when God's speaking, right? Now, here's the danger with the Message. They say everything He said was, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, you can say that when Jesus was speaking, because why? He had sinless flesh. Amen. He could not sin. He could not say one thing wrong. Why? Because He came in the fullness of the Word, in the volume of the book, right? Now, Brother Branham didn't come that way. He was a sinful prophet. Absolutely, correct? Absolutely. That's why you can't go into all that, right? Absolutely. Now, there's many times where he say, "Thus saith the Lord," he says, "That wasn't me, sister," or "That wasn't me, brother." Absolutely. There was one time we were listening, me and Beth were listening to the sermon, and he was talking to, or he was getting interpreted by a Finnish or whatever, and all of a sudden he just got hit with the Spirit, and he said something in Finnish. And he said, then within a second, he goes, "What did I say? What was that? God spoke, and then He spoke. The inside spoke, and then the outside spoke, just in a matter of 2 seconds." Right? So now we're dealing with all these, it's amazing how, now if you can explain how the Spirit and the flesh are connected, then you can explain how God can be in human flesh. How it shows there's, it's connected through what? Life. Amen, brother. That has to be the only way it's connected, is through the life. Absolutely. Because once that life goes out of me, Sister Laura can punch me, kick me, whatever, and I won't remember one thing, and I'll not have a bad affection towards her, right? And I won't react to it or any of these things, right? It shows the Spirit has gone on. Absolutely. So, I know this is pretty simple, but we just want to... just kind of dealing with that, the veil, okay? This veil here. And that was just kind of like building a little foundation, just dealing with Christ and how He came, right? But the greatest, and then when they see, when these denominations, they see the Word of God and how Jesus is talking, right, to the Father, and He's praying, and He's praying to the Father, it shows He's different. No, it doesn't. How do you know that's not the Spirit praying? How do you know that's not the flesh praying, right? Now, here's the Scripture that opens everything up, right? Let's go to Hebrews 5. When God showed me this Scripture, I understood Godhead. I understood how God could dwell in a body. Now, I don't know how. There's obviously, we won't know to the other side how He actually did it, you know. But God actually got to taste sickness. He got to taste loneliness. He got to taste all these things, and He understood why we are, what the effects of sin are, right? The Bible says there's no sin in God, right? So He never understood as far as the how it felt. I'll say it like that. God getting in a body and actually has to feel it, like go through a lifetime like we all have to, right? Absolutely. Now here's a Scripture I want to hit. We've all read it and heard it before. Hebrews 5. Let's see here, verse 5. So also Christ glorified not Himself to be made a high priest, but He said unto Him, "Thou art My Son, today I have begotten Thee." As He saith also in another place, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now here it is, verse 7. Who in the days of His flesh... Now why would He say that? Paul, the prophet, these prophet eyes were, Paul's eyes were amazing. He was one of the first, he was obviously the first person to be able to actually say that there's a discernment between what his flesh did and what God inside did. Absolutely. And what he says, he says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save him from death, and it was heard, and that he feared. So what, I'll say this, when Christ went to Martha and Mary's, right, and He heard Lazarus sick, He just kept doing what the Father told Him to do, right? And when He finally come on the scene, the Bible says that He groaned and said, "Where have You laid Him?" Now, God, the God inside Christ backs off for a second and lets the flesh take over. And it said that the flesh groaned. Because the Bible said in the beginning, it said that He loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And if you look at that word love, it was an agape love. Absolutely. There ain't no filio in Him. It's all Godhead. Absolutely. So now here, the flesh, God actually pulls back from inside and lets the flesh anointing takes over. And now He says, the Bible says He groaned within His spirit. And then what? It finally hit His flesh and He started weeping, right? Everybody's favorite scripture because they can memorize it, right? Jesus wept. Right, absolutely. So now He's letting... And then He said, He says, you know, who is He talking to? Mary, Martha, I can't remember. He says, you know, He'll rise again. And she kicks up and says, yeah, I know, Master, or whoever, and Rabbi, or whatever she said. He says, I know He'll rise at the end day, right? And then now, God within that flesh kicks right back up and says, I am the resurrection. That was not the flesh speaking, that was God speaking. Absolutely, right? Absolutely. So now Paul's saying, he says, when this God cried, he says, and when he prayed and offered supplications, right, and with strong cryings and tears, that was the flesh. Absolutely. Absolutely. So every time you see Christ, our Father, that's the flesh crying, right? Absolutely. Every time He's talking about the Father, this and that, and praying and doing all these things, and He's weeping as a rejected king, that was the flesh talking. Absolutely. And Paul was able to pinpoint this and say, look, he says, this is God in flesh. That's all it is. It's the one God veiled. It's just that simple. My. These are just things that go in my mind, you know, and just really want to understand. You want to understand God better. The Bible says whenever you come upon a man, you want to be able to give him an answer, right? You don't want to just say, well, I'm not sure. That's why anyone I meet, I say, try me. I bet you I can answer it. What? Not in faith in this, but I believe that God has opened up and He'll give you the answer right there. There's been times when people have come up and said this and that, I didn't know, and it just come right out and hit it right there. Absolutely. Why? Because the Word of God is open. Anything you need, anything you want, God can bring it on demand right at time. Now, the Bible says what? Before you think it, He'll have it right there. Absolutely. Oh, that's the millennium. I believe it can happen right now. Absolutely. That's right. Absolutely. I even see it in people at work. A guy will need this or a guy will need that, and he'll just look around and, right there, let's use that. Boom, right there. They just have it right there. God supplied that. Absolutely. That little blessing right there, which they don't think is a blessing or whatever, God blessed them with that little, I'll say like a 2x4 to work a lever or whatever, raise a pipe. God allowed that to be right there for that man. Absolutely. Absolutely. I see little things like that, you know. Now, so who in the days of his flesh when he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying? Absolutely. Now, so here is Christ, and this is how they make that Trinity doctrine when they see one, the flesh talking to the Spirit, and they call it two, when it's not, when it's one. Because who's really in control of that flesh is the Spirit. Absolutely. And then sometimes God would pull off and let the flesh speak, right? And then He'd put Himself back and now God's speaking, right? Absolutely. All right. That's pretty simple. Amen. Now, I want to kind of go on this. Now, after Christ had come and gone, and we know that another veil had been set up 300 years later, which is what the denominational veil. Absolutely, where the Catholics had raised this thing, right? And they actually almost, I'll say it like this in a way, they actually constructed another temple, right? And to where a man or a woman would not be able to go into the presence of God, right? But they actually set up the Old Testament right up there. The Pope and the Archbishops and the whoever, whatever, the priests and this and that, they would have to speak to God for you. Absolutely. And what's your sacrifice? Money. Absolutely. See, they're set up. It's amazing how Satan copies God's program every time, right? Absolutely. So it was a veil. They're putting on up another man-made veil, a denominational veil, and they'll say, if you don't pay this or you don't pay that, you ain't going in the presence of God. In fact, I'll hold you limbo, right? And then it's up to your family when you die to bring you up or down. Absolutely. Right. My goodness. they made a man-made system, right? Absolutely. Teaching you what? Not only did you have to pay for this or you have to sacrifice for that and do your penances and all these things, but you'd have to believe false doctrine after false doctrine after false doctrine. Absolutely. So in other words, if you can't ever get into the presence of God, how are you going to know what they're telling you is the truth? Absolutely. It's a man-made demonic system. Absolutely. With their creeds and what now traditions, and we see the traditions of a prophet creeping in. I wonder if it's going to replay again or has it already? When the message of the hour, has it repeated that the traditions of man has taken over, or there's little things that influence a brother here or influence a sister here? If he doesn't have this, if you count it, we've said it before, if I would go to a pulpit down at another church or whatever, I'd be out on three accounts. I got a beard, I'm not 6 foot, and my hair's not down to my shoulders. What's that? A man-made doctrine to where you have to have a shaved face to preach the Word of God, right? Because what of an angel, right? But they'll take that one aspect of an angel, a shaved face, but leave the other two undone. He was also 6 foot tall, and he also had hair down to his... What about those two? You're all out. Absolutely. We go all the way, or we don't go anyway. That's right. Absolutely. We're all in, or we're all out. That's right. Absolutely. That's how I... When you give your heart to God, you're either all in or you're all out. You go halfway and people will see it right away. It shows real quick what you're all about. Absolutely. Now, okay, we're at 45 minutes. Okay, it probably won't be much longer, I hope. Well, whatever God has. Now, this other thought here is when a woman and a man get married, right? Now look at the fashions of this day. It is traditional that a woman would come before her husband with a veil, right? And what does that show? It shows that she is headless. She has no head, right? It veils, right? That he is actually, that she is her daddy, the one to walking up is actually her head. So she's covered, right? And then when he releases her, now she comes and stands before her husband, right? Or right there, husband, whatever. And then when she lifts her veil and reveals, the husband now can see her face clearly, right? She can now see her new head. Absolutely. See how it works like this? And now you look at the modern day marriages or whatever, they don't come with a veil. They hardly even come dressed at all anymore, right? Absolutely. Shows that they are what? Had the sin veil instead. Absolutely. Now, so you got all these different kind of veils dealing with marriage, right? Now, when Christ came, let's go to Matthew 27 here. It's amazing how God's Word just echoes itself. You know, just, every teacher or every preacher that gets up, you know, and says that, it's just amazing. I mean, everybody says, you know, God's Word is just amazing how it opens up, it ties together, it shows things, you know, and it reveals things every service. I mean, every service you can actually get more and more nuggets every service. You can actually see more of the Word of God opening more and more and more. Amen. Now Matthew 27. Verse 50. Says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, right? What was it? Was there one veil that day? No, there was two veils that rent. Absolutely, right? The first veil was what? The first veil was the temple, right? The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Actually, it's the first shall be first and the last shall be last. Amen. Now, the first temple, right, showed that what? Now, notice it didn't take place to what? The death. When the death hit, then the Old Testament became null, not null and void, but it was done away with, right? And it set in, why? Because all things were broken. And in other words, what took place spiritually was displayed naturally, right? Absolutely. When Christ died, he paid the sin, right? And the prophet talked about how you're veiled by sickness or you're veiled by death, right? You've got a death thing, right? Whatever, how it goes. He said you can be veiled by anything, sorrow, sickness, death, being needy, poor. And then it goes on to what? Whosoever will. Now anyone that could not get to the presence of God, 2,500 years ago, Sister Ashley, you could not go to the holiest of holies. You're a sister. You could not do it. But now, when that took place, whosoever will. If you want to go, you can go. Absolutely. Now, by the end of this little study here, we're going to show you exactly what it takes. Well, you haven't covered it yet? I thought when Christ died, that was His veil. Not your veil. Amen. Now, and I'm going to say this, but by the end we'll say, that veil was rent before this scripture. I'll show you when. I just found the quote in the message. So, Now notice, the death came first, then the old veil rent from top to bottom, and then the centurion came and rent the second veil, right? Absolutely. Now what? The second veil, which was what? The Christ body. Brother Branham, the prophet called it what? A skin veil. He said a skin veil, just like the Old Testament, a skin veil of badger skin, right? And here now was a human veil, right? Absolutely. And what did the veil hold within it? The blood. And within the blood was what? The life. Absolutely. Now in the Old Testament, right, that veil that rent, what? It released the life of God, right? Now from that time, if a high priest who rejected Christ's first coming would go to the holiest of holies, he'd feel no presence. God would not be there.
Oh, good.
Right? Denominational. What do you think that means?
Good.
When they try to go to the presence of God, my old pastor, one of my original pastors, he said he went up to a mountain one time and prayed and fasted for like days and days and days. God never met him. Wrong veil. He was veiled. He had a denominational veil. You can't go in through that. You cannot meet God under a denominational standard, absolutely, with a denominational beliefs. Not like how you're supposed to meet Him. I'll say it like that. You may have a sensation, whatever, but to meet God Himself, it has to be under the pure Word of God, and you have to be in a certain condition. Absolutely. We'll hit that. Now, first veil, rent, right? Then the second veil. First veil, release God. The second veil, release God. Absolutely. God can dwell at more than one place at one time. It shows that what God was free, right? And now, the New Testament had taken, now God could go wherever He wanted, right? He was by Him, by His own law, He was to be in the holiest of holies. He says, I'll meet you there, right? On the mercy seat. Well, He told Moses, He says, I'll meet you in there, right? Absolutely. You slay that blood, I'll forgive your sins. But now, when He said the more perfect sacrifice, right? Absolutely. Now, you can meet Him on the street corner. You can meet Him in an alleyway or whatever. You can meet Him in a little storehouse church. Wherever you meet Him, you can meet Him. Absolutely. A lot of people meet Him right on their knees. Absolutely. Weeping and crying of tears. Absolutely. That's right. Let that flesh die out. Absolutely. Now, I'm on my last paper here. All right. It won't be much longer, no. We kind of, like we said before, we're just going to go to a couple things here. I was reading a couple things, whatever, and you meet these modern-day Christians, right? They say, I'm of this, or I'm of that, or I'm of this person, or I study under this guy, or I believe this guy has got the Word of God, right, whatever. John Hagee and his Blood Moons, or John Hagee, you know, whoever, whatever you will, right? Absolutely. But when that man that you meet or that woman you meet is smoking, or that person is cussing or telling dirty jokes or watching filthy movies, and it does not condemn her or it does not condemn him, what does that tell you? That the life of God is not within that person. Absolutely. That shows that there is no life in them saying that's wrong, right? The Holy Ghost is not inside saying you shouldn't be doing that. Get away from that influence. Get away from this or get away from that. You need to repent, right? That's why these modern day Christians can go out onto the beaches wearing hardly nothing. They can go and hang out with whoever, trying to win whomever in their atmosphere and not feel guilty one bit, it shows there's something wrong. Absolutely. It shows they do not have the presence of God. If you're in a sin, whatever, and you don't feel guilty, God have mercy. Absolutely. It shows that He's not dwelling in that temple. Absolutely. Now, I'm just going to wrap this up real quick here. I was studying a little bit of Veil, and I typed in Veil, whatever, into the message search engine, whatever, and I got a couple hits and all these things, and I started reading. And then he says, and the prophet went through this, and he said, you know where the veil is? Or he says, you know what your veil is you have to get through, right? Now let's go to Matthew 26, and this is where the veil is actually rent. I'll say it like that, in the spiritual. Okay. Matthew 26 and 36. Boom, there's light bulbs flashing all over the place. Everybody, I got it now. Verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder, right? And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Was that God? That was the flesh, right? Why would God get worried? He wouldn't. That was the flesh, right? Christ was born, right? He got baptized. He says, then the voice says, this is my son, whom I'm well pleased, right? Absolutely. The adoption takes place in Matthew 17, right? The Mount Transfiguration says, and then he says, go on. He says the same thing. Then he says, hear ye him, right? Christ, his whole life, has no problem in obeying the Father. Absolutely not one issue. In fact, he was adopted by the time he was 30 to 33, somewhere in there. That's beyond when we are, for most of us. So it shows of what he lived, a perfect life. He had absolutely no problem. When the Father said pray, he prayed. When he went to the desert and fought the devil for 40 days, he had no problem. It didn't say that Christ, well, I'm going to go fight the devil for 40 days and fast and not eat anything. When was his problems? Right here. The flesh kicked up. And Jesus probably, I don't know if he's ever felt anything like that before. What was it? We just read in Hebrews it was fear. The very first effect of sin. Right? Adam and Eve partook in the sin and they got out of dodge. Right? They went because they were scared and they knew they were naked and they were scared of what they had done. Fear had set in. And now Christ is feeling the same effects of the original sin. It was the very last thing he had to conquer, right? Was fear. But how did he conquer fear? Verse 38, then he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. Paul said this was when he was in his flesh. This was the flesh doing it. Oh, my Father. Well, it shows there's two people right there. That was the flesh speaking. Absolutely. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and said unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray thee, enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing. Christ knew that. All the God wanted, and it, all of God was brooding Christ for this one moment in his entire life. He said, what, destroy this temple and I will raise it up, right? Absolutely. All the Holy Ghost, all that was God in this flesh was leading this boy, was leading this man, this flesh, right to the crucifixion, right? Now, he says, watch and pray, ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing. Everybody wants to do exactly what God tells them to do, what God leads them to do. He says, but what? The flesh is weak. See, that's why you can say the men are weak, and the women are weaker vessels. Because we're flesh. Amen. 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Even then, he was trying. He wanted to die out to this. He wanted to do this, but he had to pray again and ask for more strength, whatever. Now, verse 43, and he came again and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Verse 44, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the exact same words. What? It took three times to pray for him to break through. God in flesh. God, the Almighty God, is overcoming His own sinless flesh. It took three prayer little meetings. Absolutely. That's right. Verse 45, then cometh he to his disciples and saith to them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. Behold, he is at the hand that doth betray me. Right? The prophet. He said there was two veils that broke that day. The old tabernacle and Christ's flesh. Right? But when did the veil really break? Right here in this garden. Brother Ram said, he said, what? He said, what is your veil? What is the, I'll say this. This is my word too. What is the final veil? Self-will. If you can get away from your own thoughts, your own desires. This last year, I wanted to buy my dad a house. In my heart, I wanted to buy him a house and a little renter, you know, fixer up or whatever. And then God hit me with a bill, and I couldn't do it. So what was that? That was my will and not God's will. And He sent something to stop it. That's why you're to be anxious. The Bible says, be anxious in nothing, but what? Find the will of God. What did the prophet break down? Remember, the man came to the prophet and said, he says, I'm trying to sell my house. I fasted, I prayed, and this and that. And Brother Bram said, you did, da, da, da. He said, yes. He says, well, then just wait on God. Absolutely. Don't take this way and don't take it that way. Just stay right here neutral, just waiting for a door to open or a door to close. In other words, remember that little Bible study where I taught the death of Christ, how it's in Psalms 18 and then 2 Samuel 22, right? Remember, it's located in two places. And if the first coming of Christ took a death to self-will, it took self-will out of the picture. Not my will, but thy will be done. Don't you think that we're going to have to come to a place like that again? Where we're going to have to totally die out. I mean, totally. We're still yet green. I'm just, hey, what's up? Hey. 4 or 8 at me and 2 of you guys. We are still yet green. Even though we're drying out, I still see a lot of greenness in this flesh right here. Doing what I want to do, right? Doing what maybe what I think would be right. Or trying to weigh this or trying to weigh that option or this decision, right? When I should get on my face and pray, Lord, thy will be done and not mine. Absolutely. What is the final veil? Dying to yourself, self-will. If Christ had not died here, there'd be no Matthew 27. The veils wouldn't have rent, right? It all took place right here. This was key. People don't, I mean, if they could understand what took place right here, the majority of preaching would probably be right here. Because there would be no death. There would be no resurrection without here, without the garden. That little garden prayer meeting. Absolutely. Amen. So, and that's why in 1 Corinthians 15 and 31, Paul says what? He says, I die daily. Amen. And if the first great prophet had to die daily, certainly everyone from them time, from the second great prophet, whatever, even to the bride of Christ, now have to die daily. Absolutely. And there are a lot of times when I wake up and I don't pray before I go to work. It shows I have not died to that day. To have not died to let Christ live through me and in me on that day. Absolutely. So not to bring you down, but to maybe just look past your veil. Try and get past your final. If you've got the Holy Ghost, what is He trying to do? He's trying to get through and through the veil, all these veils, and live His way out, right? If this veil's dirty, and I'll say it like this, you should be transparent as far as sinless or living as clean could be. If we were made out of glass, if our flesh was made out of glass or a clear, super clear pigment, and sin could actually be seen on your flesh, how clean would we be? Would we be able to see the light of God within us? Absolutely. We should be able to see the light. The light of God should be glowing, and people would be like, whoa, where's my shades, right? We should be totally sold out to God. Absolutely. I'm not there yet, I'm going to be honest. We're struggling, we're striving, we're pushing, and we're pressing on to do that. Absolutely. I'm witnessing more at work, and I'm trying to win souls and trying to be just an example towards all men. Absolutely. By the grace of God, you know. And I know we all are. We just have to press harder. But I'm telling you, it ain't going to take place until the persecution comes. There's going to be a betrayal. Absolutely. Within this message, you watch. And then we'll have to pray like we've never prayed before. And then when our wills are done, that bride will become invincible. Absolutely. Because when she dies out, he lives. That's right. People, this death is the most beautiful thing there ever was. Death brings life. Now, our brother, our great friend, Brother Brooks, 2013 is a year of death. What takes place after death? This year's about over. I believe new life will spring forward by the grace of God. Absolutely. That was me there. Okay. Praise God. So, well, let's just so anyhow, if you have any, if you need a prayer or whatever, this and that, just we'll pray over you by the grace of God, calling on the name of Jesus Christ. I hope it was a blessing. Just a little Bible study. Just get your minds thinking. Always have an answer. You know, I was challenged by a mortician one time on something. I hit him right on the head. He said, no one's ever been able to tell me what this and this and so, and it's about the Bible and this and that. And I hit it right on the head. He's like, wow, you know. always have a word ready. Always be able to, remember, we must grow in the knowledge too of the word. Knowledge as far as understanding. You want to be able to break things down and make it so simple that people can understand, you know. Because once you can, if you can help them get past their veil, if you can set something out here and they have to get past their veil to look at it, you might win them to Christ. You might win them right to the Word of God. Absolutely. So keep in prayer. Thank you for your attention. I didn't see anyone sleeping or even nodding off or nothing. I was like, man, praise God. So, Brother Dustin, I don't know if you have a song or I actually brought a song book up. I don't know if we're going to use this. I'm always kind of partial to fill my way with love. So I guess we'll stand and we'll sing, and Brother Dusk can take over this mighty office as a deacon / song leader and however, and just pray you're blessed. Go in the grace of God, fearing, loving one another, and keep pressing, saints, and we'll let our brother here, I guess, we'll let Brother Dustin here take over. Praise God.
Come on up. Sing a song, Fill My Way With Love. Let me walk, bless the Lord.
Let me walk, bless the Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, and let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness roam, and keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day
Lord, I give
And Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, and I live for you alone. And every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire, to honor you. And Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. And all that is within me, Lord, I give you praise, and all that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you, and Lord, I give you my heart, and I give you my soul, and I live for you alone. And every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, and I give you my soul, and I live for you alone. And every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord an applause. Let's sing that song, Into the Chamber, as we're dismissed. Into the Chamber.
Into the chamber, be free, Holy Spirit. Speak to me gently, as I close the door. Heavenly Lover, let thy presence cover. Shekinah unending is all I long for. And into chamber, be free, Holy Spirit, and speak to me gently as I close the door. Heavenly Lover, let thy presence cover. Shekinah unending is all I long for. And into the chamber, be free, Holy Spirit, and speak to me gently as I close the door. Heavenly Lover, let thy presence cover. Shekinah unending is all.
You know, one more time as we're dismissed.
and into the chamber. Be free, Holy Spirit, and speak to me gently as I close the door. Heavenly Lover, let thy presence cover Shekinah.